Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Today, we're going to discuss something that has been an absolute game changer for us, and that is setting up our finances so they all run on autopilot. Sometimes we're fearful to invest when the markets are fearful during the pandemic. Everyone's talking about how this could potentially be the end of the world. Will we ever recover from this? Like, that was a really, really, really scary time to invest. But looking back now, it actually probably was the best time to invest.
It's normal to make mistakes, or if you kind of try to set and forget, it's much easier to do it consistently.
And setting up a strategy that is actually... Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. This is Queenie.
And Pablo.
And welcome back to another episode. Pablo, what is your money win?
My money win is that we went to the hospital last week for some like ultrasound for the baby. And usually it's quite hard to get like free parking there, but we got free parking directly, you know, so that's a good money win because it can be expensive, it can be time consuming just to look for one, but we were able to find free parking right next to the hospital, so that's money win.
That's great. Love that. Love that. My money win is that our crypto portfolio is up so much these days. It's actually crazy. So Bitcoin broke 105,000 Australian dollars per Bitcoin or 68,000 US dollars per Bitcoin, which is just insane. Like, I honestly never thought it would get to this point. Like, it's actually wild. And it kind of makes me feel like I wish I had more. But then I'm still glad we have something, you know, that's why we still have like a little bit of our portfolio invested in crypto, you know, just in case it goes crazy. But also if we lose everything, that's okay too, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's always like that. When it goes up, you wish you had more. And when it goes down, you wish you did not have that much.
Yeah, we do have a bit in crypto, Bitcoin and Ethereum, but only like 5-10% of our portfolio, the money that we're prepared to lose. We have learned this valuable lesson about crypto.
Very valuable.
Just remember that anything that we talk about in this podcast is general and doesn't constitute personal financial advice. You can read our full financial services guide in the description. We would also like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of our land, and we extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today. So the reason why we wanted to talk about the power of automating our finances is because it honestly has been such a game changer for us over the past couple of years when we have been investing. Because something that I have noticed with investments is it's not really a logical, rational thing. Like, it often goes against your primary instincts as humans. So as we know, whenever the markets are doing phenomenally well, like they are with the crypto markets and like they are with the stock market and even the property markets, it's like it kind of triggers our innate desire to buy more and be more greedy because we're like, oh my gosh, it's going to keep on going up. So we get in that greed mode and we buy more, and then suddenly there's a sell-off and we regret it, you know? And then once the market drops down again, we feel like we want to sell. It's kind of like an innate human psychological thing. And what we try to do with our investing is we just try to like avoid those impulses, because if we were in control of our finances and if we were the ones that were, you know, pushing the buy button or the sell button all the time, we would get caught up in that greed or that fear when it's probably the worst times to buy or the worst times to sell.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, humans have in the past made a lot of mistakes, and it's normal to make mistakes. Well, if you kind of like try to set and forget, it's much easier to do it consistently.
I do have an interesting story about us, speaking of crypto. So back in 2017, that was when I first discovered Bitcoin and Ethereum and like the whole crypto world, because one of my friends told me about it. He was like, oh my gosh, I'm making these crazy returns in the crypto market. And I I didn't know what it was. So I went home that night and I did some research and I opened up an account and I invested $20 into Bitcoin or one of the cryptocurrencies. The next day I checked my account and it was already up 10%. So I made like $2 and I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. So I just kept on investing more and more and more. So then it was $50, another $100. And before I knew it, I had invested maybe around $4,000 in total. But our portfolio, Pablo, it went up to $20,000. I honestly thought that I was some sort of crypto genius, you know, within the span of just a couple of months. I had like 5x'd our money. It was crazy. And I was just like, it's just going to keep on going up like this forever. You know, unfortunately, it did not happen like that. That was the peak, that $20,000, that $4,000 that turned into $20,000. That was the peak. And then it crashed. It went back down to about $2,000. And in that moment, I just held all these random cryptocurrencies. I had no idea what we were doing. It was just, it was a bit of a mess. And I ended up selling our crypto at a loss, which was crazy. And ever since that time, it made me realize the importance of just knowing how, I guess, we can all get caught up in like that greed or that fear kind of mentality. So when the crypto market was going up, I was more than happy to buy more crypto and like, you know, keep on investing more. But as soon as the crypto market fell by 90% and, you know, we lost money, I didn't believe in the coins anymore because they weren't making money anymore. So just decided to sell. And nowadays, I have learned a valuable lesson. I wish I kept the crypto that we had back in 2017 because who knows that $4,000 would be worth now. Probably some insane amount. But we still do have a bit of crypto in our portfolio. But like we said earlier in the podcast, this is money that we're prepared to lose, 5 to 10%. Just that. And we don't get swept up in like fear or the greed or only invest because the market's going up or sell all your investments because the market is going down. That was a very valuable lesson for me.
I remember that time, you know, when you first invested and then you're like, it's so good. And we had also other investments in more like ETF and more safe. And you were like, we should just sell those and then put everything in crypto.
Yeah, I was like totally into it because the safe, boring investments, they get 10% in a year, but you could get 10% a day, Pablo.
But I guess that's the thing is that it can be only good until it's not good anymore. And that's why it's important, I think, to diversify and not put all your eggs into one basket because it's very easy to get caught up in these like easy wins.
What goes up really quickly can also go down really quickly. Sure, my crypto portfolio was going up by 10% a day, but it also fell by 90% in only a couple of days, which is just wild. Yeah, not the best when $4,000 was a lot of money to us at the time. Like that was like a big part of our portfolio. So it did hurt a lot, you know, back in 2017. So yeah, definitely learned some really valuable lessons since then. And that's what we wanted to go through in this episode, how to kind of take the decision making out of your investments so that you can actually focus on what's really important and setting up a strategy that is actually helpful long term.
When we saw that portfolio at 20,000 and then we saw it at 15,000 and we saw it at 10,000, hoping and just saying, it's okay, it's gonna go back up. But it just never did, or it did, but years later.
Yeah, exactly. And I think one of the key lessons here is that it's important to stay focused on your long-term investment goals and your overarching strategy because there's a lot of volatility in the markets, especially whatever markets we're looking at, whether that's the crypto, property, shares, bonds, like any sort of market, there's always going to be some sort of volatility in the short term. There might be some event, like we had the pandemic a couple of years ago, there was a huge sell-off. But what we can see in the long-term graphs that the markets always do recover. It may take a couple of years, but they do recover. As long as you have made the right investments and you haven't just bought, you really weren't buying it for the long-term. I guess that's a different example. But if you purchase something for the long-term, you made a good investment decision, it was a rational investment decision, It's okay to have these like short-term kind of like volatility. It's important to stay focused on the long term.
Yeah, it's really true. And how does this intervene with automation, Kuni?
Well, I think that having some sort of automation in your portfolio or in your finances just helps take the decision-making out of investing, really, because sometimes we're fearful to invest when the markets are fearful, you know, like, for example, during the pandemic. That was a really scary time to invest because everyone's talking about how this could potentially be the end of the world. Like, will we ever recover from this? Like, that was a really, really, really scary time to invest. But looking back now, it actually probably was the best time to invest. But if we were to listen to our fear instincts and not invest, we could have missed out on those potential returns. And the same thing happens when, I guess, the market is doing really, really well and everyone's talking about how, wow, it just keeps surging and, oh, up to another high, you know. It makes you feel like you want to buy into the market more when in reality, probably the worst time as well. So there are some studies on this, dollar cost averaging versus lump sum investing, and I'm going to reference this study from Vanguard. What they found is that when it comes to dollar cost averaging, which is essentially buying the exact same amount of like shares or ETFs or investments at the same time every single month or at a set period of time, that's one of the strategies, and it's called dollar cost averaging. And then there's another strategy called lump sum investing, which is essentially when you just invest a lump sum into the market whenever you have that money. So let's say, for example, if you get a bonus, you could invest that lump sum. They did some studies on this, and they did show that lump sum investing did actually outperform dollar cost averaging on average. It did. But dollar cost averaging did beat out just keeping your money in cash over the long term. We personally like using the dollar cost averaging method because it is just helpful to just have it all automated, to just buy at the same time every single month and not have to think about it. And it kind of does take that decision making out of it as well.
One thing to note with dollar cost averaging is that, let's say, for example, 1 year you earn more than the other, and usually later in the years you're going to earn more. It's not going to be the exact science because the dollar cost averaging usually is not the same because you invest more in the later years because you earn more. And ideally, you want to put more of your, you know, spare income into investing. But I think for us, it works really well because it's like kind of set and forget. And it's like, we don't have that money in our bank account, so it's automatically invested. And we just benefit it whether the market goes up or down. It's like over the long term, our money is invested, and that's really what matters to us.
And I did also wanted to reference this article from BlackRock, which is another ETF provider. This one's about staying the course and...
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Controlling your emotions during the ups and downs of the market. When facing bouts of market volatility, it is important to not focus on the day-to-day swings, but your longer-term investing goals. Of course, no one likes to see their hard-earned savings diminish, so investors often ask, how should I handle market volatility, and should I sell my stocks when markets are volatile? That is why it can be so hard to accept that often the best course during market sell-off is do nothing. When times are tough, we want to limit our losses. Even when things are going well, we wish we would have invested more. We all have fear of missing out. But when you're investing, giving into fear is often a losing strategy. More often than not, investors with this mindset tend to buy high and sell low as they invest more in a rising market and pull money out of a falling market. Which is just exactly the psychology that I was explaining about in the story. It's interesting, isn't it?
And that's why I guess it's important to invest in things that you understand well and you know, because if, for example, and we did that before, we invested in like random coins or random stocks, and then the day it goes down or go, you know, lower, you are like, I need to sell because you don't value the company as much as, you know, you thought you were. And that's why, like, you know, if you got a stock tip from one of your friends or from a YouTube video or TikTok, not really the right way to get your advice. I would say, you know, you need to do your own research and understand what you invest in. So that way, you know, there is Warren Buffett, he is mentioning you should invest, you know, for a stock for the next 10 years at least. So you should be willing to just not touch it for 10 years rather than just being like 10 minutes.
Exactly, exactly. And something else that we found really helpful is the core and satellite portfolio. So this is a really interesting portfolio setup. Basically, you could have like a passive portfolio, completely passive, which would make up, say, like 100% of different ETFs. So different ETFs in your home country, overseas, maybe some bonds thrown in the mix. That's like the completely passive portfolio. But another approach is the core and satellite approach, which is essentially having like a core of really solid ETFs or index funds, which give you exposure to your home country, overseas, some bonds and different equity markets. But then you also have these little active satellites. So these could be slightly more risky investments, maybe stuff that you would like to put, like to add to your portfolio, maybe some individual companies in there, maybe a bit of crypto if you're that way inclined, or different kind of like a little bit more risky investments. And it's a good way to kind of like still ensure that the bulk of your money is invested in things that are, I guess, more of a safer bet and things that won't have crazy volatility in your portfolio, but also still feel like you're not missing out on some really amazing investment opportunities because you still have a little bit of your portfolio invested in some of those more risky or speculative investments.
I think this portfolio was made for you, Quinny. You are like someone that really, you are big into FOMO, right? And, you know, missing out on a party, missing out on Bitcoin and all these things. So I think this is a good way of not missing out on anything, but also making sure that, you know, mitigate the risks.
I think it is actually a very good portfolio for me. I mean, would you invest this way if it was just up to you? And
personally, maybe more weighted towards ETF now, but I do like this approach that, you know, there is no missing out of Bitcoin and even stocks that we invested that we value.
So could work for you. Now we wanted to go into how to actually set up automations and what kind of things you could potentially automate just to make your financial lives easier so that you can just focus on the fun stuff. So let's jump right in.
Let's jump right in.
So Pavlo, you wanted to go first?
Yeah, so I think the first thing that we do is automated as soon as we get paid. We have a business, obviously, but we pay ourselves a monthly salary. And every month, this monthly salary is distributed. So we pay our investment first. So automatically, when we get paid to our bank account, this money or some of this money goes to our investment account and is automatically invested with Perla.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, invested in our passive ETF portfolio. So we just have two different ETFs that we invest in every month, and 20% of our pay just goes directly there so that we can make our investments.
Yeah, and as we make more money as well, we try to keep this 20% so that way we can invest more over the years.
Exactly, exactly. And automating bill payments as well, right, Pablo?
That's right. Automated bill payments. So basically, like, you know, with our electricity bill and things like that, phone bills, we just like set up, you know, our credit card. First, we can get the points, but also we don't miss any bill because if you miss bills, usually first it takes time. You need to check all the time your emails. You know, that's time consuming. Plus you need to go on your phone or put your details in. That's already so much time consuming and it's so much room for error or just room to save time, right? So what we're doing is like just put our credit card and then automatically it's a direct debit. And then on top of that, usually they give you a discount because it's directly debited. So they might give you like a 10% discount because you do that. Obviously something to consider is another thing that we do is also automated bill payment for our credit card. This is a bit more, not risky, but something to, you know, be more mindful because credit card is like not $100, like, you know, a few thousand dollars every month on your bank account. So you want to make sure that you review your credit card statement. And actually, Quinny, do you know how many people review their bank statement or their credit card statements every month?
Oh, I have no idea. Tell me. I'm curious.
Wait, give me a number.
I'd say maybe half.
So 50%?
Yes.
So 61% of people, that was in America, reviewed their credit card statement on a monthly basis.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's good, but it's still like almost 40% not checking. And you want to check because there might be some random expenses, you know, or fees that you might be paying. So especially if you are like us and you put like automated bill payment with the credit card, and if you don't even, you still want to do it, but you want to review every single transaction. It's a bit time consuming, but you don't want to be paying like random fees or things like that.
Yeah, that's very true. And sneaky plug into Billroo, because this is the budgeting app that we are using. And we actually do our budgeting every single month and we check our expenses every single month with this tool. It's honestly been such a game changer for us because we used to use spreadsheets and it was not the most convenient way. And we've tried different budgeting apps out there. There wasn't really one that did everything that we wanted, so we decided to build our own tool. And we're really excited to launch this out into the community as well, so you can use it as well. But yeah, basically what the tool does is at the moment we upload our CSVs. There's going to be bank feeds in the future, so it's all automated in the future, but at the moment it's just CSV upload. And then we can actually go through each of our transactions and categorize them. This is a really good exercise to just remember what you actually spent money on last month. And it's also a really good exercise to see, yeah, if you had any random charges that were fraudulent or any charges that, you know, were an accident or things like that, you can get those cleared up. And this saves us quite a lot of money because I think there were a few times when we had our credit card stolen and people were making like little purchases on Didi or Uber or Amazon, little purchases that you may not even notice, but they could add up to a lot of money at the end of the day. And if you just call up your credit card provider and tell them about these fraudulent charges, they'll refund you. So yeah, there's no harm in looking, right?
Yeah, there's no harm in looking, and especially you don't want your credit card information to be randomly used because, you know, maybe one day you need to pay for something and then it's been blocked by the bank or whatever. So you want to be on top of your finances, and it's small things like that that can make a big difference.
Yeah, exactly, which is why we built our tool. So if you would like to join the waitlist, you can check out our description and join the waitlist to Billroo. But yeah, that's a really good one.
Yeah, thank you, Quinny. And another automation, not so much like personal finance, but more life automation. And it's on Amazon Prime or just on Amazon in general. You can buy in bulk and subscribe and save. So we used to do that for our soy milk and receive like a discount on our soy milk because we did like subscribe and save. So for like purchases, I think that are not expiring or expire like in 1 year or more time, I think it might be quite good to do that because you get discounted or discounts, but also you don't have to think about it. So, you know, it's just time that you can save doing other stuff. Or you can do that for like protein powder or things that you buy on a regular basis that you know you're going to consume, because you don't want to like subscribe and save to something and then having tons of it and then end up like, first, it takes a lot of room in your apartment or place. And then on top of that, it might expire. But if it can save you time in the long run plus a bit of money, that might be good. And another thing on Amazon is that you can actually just subscribe and save, receive the thing and cancel, so you might not even need to subscribe and save, but at least you get the 10%.
And I think nappies as well, now that we're parents, we're going to be buying those sorts of things, you can also subscribe and save to a lot of nappies online, and they send you, you know, a fresh batch every month or wherever, however long you want to set up your subscription for. But that's quite good, so you don't have to keep on remembering to go out and buy those things.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, everything that makes your life easier, but obviously with all these things that are really good and automation are really good, you want to make sure you still spend a bit of time reviewing them from time to time. It doesn't mean you set and forget and your whole life you're not gonna do anything about it. You just want to, maybe you check your portfolio once a month, you still see how it's going, but at least you don't have to be like, okay, I need to transfer money from my bank account to my broker account, and then I need to check that it's received, and then I need to see which ETF I'm going to put my money in. And then, you know, how much time is that? And then you have to do that every single month or every fortnight when you get paid. So that's the reason why we automate it. But then it doesn't mean we just like lay down and do nothing. We still check the portfolio from time to time. Our net worth, you do it once a month. And that's time we can spend doing those things rather than doing the manual things.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's amazing that they have all of these automations set up. It's also like an automated crypto investment as well, set up with SwiftX, which is pretty cool. So we just do like a teeny tiny bit into crypto, dollar cost averaging, but money that we're prepared to lose 5 to 10%, no more than that.
Yeah, it's crazy that now they've also gotten to the dollar cost average or automated, you know, for crypto. That's interesting.
I'm curious with where it will be in the future because, as you know, we're pregnant and we're pregnant with a baby girl, so excited for her. We're going to make some investments for her when she's born. And I think one of the investments I'd like to make is in crypto, so Bitcoin, Ethereum. Obviously, we're going to buy her lots of ETFs. Well, not lots of ETFs, but like a bigger portion of ETFs and like tiny bit in crypto. But I'm just so curious like how it's going to perform over her lifetime from the day she's born up until 18, like which one's going to be the investment that outperforms all of them.
So she'll get a core and satellite portfolio?
I think so. What do you think, Pablo?
Yeah, okay. I've just done it live on the podcast, but yeah. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I guess we could talk to her as well, see what she likes, you know. Maybe she could also do some research into some different companies she'd like to invest in, you know.
Yeah, when she's like 1 month.
Sweetie, which company would you like to invest in?
No, yeah, maybe she would be like a nappies company.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe like, I don't know, toy company or like a entertainment company or something like that. I think that'll be a fun way to kind of like get kids into like investing, you know, talking about different companies and yeah.
Yeah, you
definitely
would.
Get her into that. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to follow the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and we also have a feedback form in the description as well, so you can give us your feedback, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.